You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A quick content warning before we play this next interview. The following story contains discussions of eating disorders. Recently, RNZ published an article about a young person who passed away in 2023 in emergency accommodation due to his battle with his eating disorder. However, the article has faced backlash for its portrayal of the young person, despite the young person in question, Alex, who identified as trans. The article, at his parents' request, referred to him by his dead name and incorrect pronouns. The article mixed in non-gender-specific pronouns and the name V, depending on an individual's relationship to Alex that was not his parents. News and editorial director Joel spoke to the president of the Professional Association for Transgender Health Aotearoas, Jennifer Shields, about RNZ's coverage and how this may impact trans rangatahi in the country.
What was your immediate reaction to this article as someone involved in transgender health?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a really tragic story, right? I think New Zealand's trans community is small enough that every loss is felt really dearly. So that was really my first reaction, is thinking of the grief that this has caused, not just for this family, but for the people that knew Alex and the people in his community.
What implications could reporting like this have on the country's trans rangatahi, especially coming from Aotearoa's state broadcaster?
Yeah, it's obviously really concerning, right? Trans people really do deserve dignity in death and deserve to be remembered and honoured as who we were in life. And I think it's a worry that a lot of us have, you know, how we will be remembered once we're gone, and the, yeah, concerning opportunities that exist for people to reject who we were in life.
Should there be better regulations to address transgender people accurately in reporting? And if so, what would this look like?
Yeah, I think we're certainly in need of some stronger guidance and a larger piece of work around dealing with myths and disinformation. I think that's really at the core of a lot of the issues that our community is facing at the moment, and this one is unfortunately no exception. We're aware that the story was really promoted by a particular anti-trans activist group who utilised a lot of disinformation in their work, and I think that's had an influence on how this story was reported.
How important is it to use someone's preferred name and pronouns in healthcare?
Yeah, so important. We've got really good research evidence that shows that just one place in a young person's life that uses their name and pronoun correctly reduces their risk of suicidal behaviour by 56%. So just one environment is having a really significant positive benefit on their well-being. So it's really important that we make sure that as many places as possible in someone's life really reflect who they are.
Alex's parents in the article alleged that multiple agencies failed Alex, claiming that care providers were too caught up in referring to him with his preferred name and pronouns that they overlooked his eating disorder. How do you see this?
I think it's a really tragic death, obviously, and I think just in many of the ways that, you know, gender-affirming care and mental health support is underfunded and under-resourced here in Aotearoa, we see the same for those navigating challenges with eating disorders. I think reading through the messages that Alex shared in this online forum where we are able to hear his own voice, you can hear how important it was that he was acknowledged as who he was. And I really want to commend the social services and in particular the motel owner where he was staying in his, you know, towards the end of his life, who sounds like it really took a lot of care for him.
What would you hope would be an adequate response from RNZ to the concerns people have over the reporting of the story?
Yeah, I think at the very least they need to make a public statement and apologise for the harm that this has caused, and show some accountability for how they will prevent things like this happening in the future. Speaking to our communities now, to really encourage people to reach out to those around them and to check in with their friends and their families. I know a lot of people around the country have been really personally affected by this story, so if you have a trans person in your life, I would really encourage you to take the time now to check in with them and see how they're doing and see what they might need.
The coverage of the story has also raised the question of what responsible coverage should look like for a story like this. According to RNZ's Rainbow Communities reporting and content guidelines, as Alex could not communicate his wishes, RNZ opted to cover the story the way that they did through his parents. News and editorial director Joel also spoke to the academic advisor to journalism at AUT, Greg Treadwell, about the coverage of the story and if he believes the coverage is adequate.
What are your thoughts on how RNZ has portrayed the story?
I think it's an unfortunate story to be publishing right now, and I think it wasn't handled very well. I think that there's still a gap between some newsrooms and the trans community. This gap's closing. I've seen trans students come through our own degree studying journalism, and I know they're out there, trans journalists, and it just is, you know, eventually they'll get to positions of power, I guess, within the newsroom. But I think this does highlight still a gap between some newsroom practices and the realities faced by the trans community. And I think that's disappointing. I think that journalists have a responsibility towards all voices in society, and it's not as if trans people have suddenly appeared on our radar. So I have to balance that by saying I do understand a newsroom's impulse to give voice to the parents of Alex, because their lived experience was their lived experience, and to not allow people to have their lived experience acknowledged in the media, the wider media, is, you know, the very case that Alex went through. So I think that, you know, everybody has a story to tell, and, you know, depending on news priorities, of course, everybody's story is worth telling. But I think that the world's got more complex, and I think journalism has to become more complex. And I did say to a panel of news editors, senior news editors at a conference a year or two ago, are you ready? Are you ready for the young trans journalists that are coming through? Are you ready for the way young people see gender? Because I don't think you are. And they all sort of nodded in a kind of compassionate way, but I said, I don't think you are by that very answer. I don't think you have any idea what's coming your way in terms of gender consciousness and gender affirmative social perspectives. And, you know, I think they took it on board, but I don't think I see that kind of knowledge being portrayed in this story. And from a journalistic point of view, there's a really important principle that we do not interfere in the processes of justice. And there is a coronial report coming out soon, and this was the ideal moment, I believe, to say in the RNZ newsroom, we have these sources who want to tell their story, and that's fair enough, but this is definitely a story to be told after the coronial report is released. My problem with the story, I think, is that there's scarcely an expert voice in there. Only reported experts, and not the actual voice of somebody who understands the life that Alex might have been leading. So I think that was a big failure, especially given that there were all these experts available once the coronial report was out, because those experts were respecting the coronial process and declining to comment because of the justice process that was underway. And I think the newsroom should have gone, we're going to hold back too. These people have offered to tell us their story, and we're listening, but this isn't the time to interfere in what might have been a much more considered view of the loss of this young man's life.
The head of Rights Aotearoa, formerly known as Countering Hate Speech Aotearoa, Paul Thistle, has made a complaint to the coroner with further plans to file a complaint to the Human Rights Commission and the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Regarding the latter, what are the logistics looking like for the Broadcasting Standards Authority to uphold this and other complaints regarding the article?
That's really something for the BSA to decide, obviously. But they have a principle against discrimination and for diversity. So I assume that would be the test. I'm not entirely sure until I see the complaint. But I will be very interested in the BSA's view of this. If it was a text story, I'm not sure that it shouldn't be going to the New Zealand Media Council, to be honest, but I'll just leave that for the authorities to sort out.
Could an article like this lead to the distrust of reporting in the country regarding transgender identities?
Well, Yeah, on the progressive side of life, most definitely. I think the impact on the trans community of a single story needs to be really, really considered. I mean, can I urge your listeners to go and read David Farrier's response to this, because David Farrier has got access through a little bit of journalistic work, nothing too investigative or melodramatic, but David Farrier has managed to get access to a lot of Alex's postings. And they show an incredible side to this young man's life, a view that we just don't get through the RNZ article, which is another reason for not jumping at this story. You know, it's better to be right than first. And believe it or not, that is what I teach my journalism students. I think David Farrier's piece, because it's quite extraordinary. And then you start to understand, really, from the trans community's point of view, what the problem with this story is. And also, there's an excellent piece by two academics on the spin-off website. And I would really strongly recommend that Radio New Zealand, if it hasn't already, republishes the spin-off piece to give its audience, you know, another view of what's going on.
And you briefly touched on this just then, but how would you suggest RNZ go about these concerns people have with this, with the reporting of the story?
I mean, I understand the criticism that RNZ dead-named Alex because he wasn't around to say what he wanted. But when you read David Farrier's piece, I mean, it didn't take much to work out, really, how this person should have been referred to through the story. So I think maybe an acknowledgement of that, given David Farrier's work on it, RNZ has now more access to details around this story and should probably respond to that. But I also think, as I said before, that republishing the piece by the academics that the spin-off published would be really, really helpful, because it's a deeply knowledgeable piece of academic writing. The RNZ story grips you with the drama, and there's nothing wrong per se about drama in news, because news stories have to catch your attention. They're not dry academic reports, but when you do read the view of experts on these issues, then you start to understand exactly the deficiencies of that story. And you know, I just think it's time for all journalists to sit down and think about these issues, frankly.
And that was the Professional Association for Transgender Health, Aotearoa's Jennifer Shields, and AUT's Greg Treadwell on the concerns many have regarding RNZ's coverage of a story on a young person passing away in emergency accommodation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.